Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
It's a privilege to have as our chapel speaker today Dr. Tom Costable, Department Chair and Senior Professor of Bible Exposition. Tom has served on the Dallas Seminary faculty since 1966, and in 1970 he was instrumental in establishing what was then known as the Field Education Department, and also the Center of Biblical Studies in 1973, both of which he directed for several years before he took on other faculty responsibilities. Tom also helped establish Plano Bible Chapel in Plano, Texas, a church he pastored for 12 years, and he has also served as one of their governing elders for over 30 years. Dr. Constable continues to maintain an active pulpit supply and conference speaking ministry. He's ministered God's word in 36 countries around the world, and he's also written an expository expositional commentary on every book of the Bible. Tom and his wife Mary enjoy traveling and snow skiing, presumably in Colorado or Canada, but most of all, they enjoy visiting with people and showing hospitality, and over the years, they have indeed had a great influence in the lives of many students. And I notice Mary is here today. And Mary, if you'd just stand, we'd like to recognize you. Thank you for coming to share this time with us and with Tom as well. And please join me in giving a warm welcome to Dr. Tom Constable.
Some time ago, a recent graduate of DTS wrote a letter expressing his gratitude for the education that he received here. He was truly grateful for what he had received, but he also mentioned something very disturbing. He wrote that when he arrived on campus, he was deeply in love with Jesus Christ, but when he left, he said, he was more in love with the biblical text. Did you catch that? He wrote that when he arrived on campus, he was deeply in love with Jesus Christ, but when he left, he was more in love with the biblical text. He believed his professors had done their best to teach him the scriptures, but he left these halls loving the Bible more than the Savior. He also wrote that since graduating, it had taken him some time to recognize his drift and to reorient his life so that Christ himself was again at the center. This summer, Mary and I participated in the annual seminary study tour of the Holy Land. And toward the beginning of that wonderful trip, I had a memorable conversation with a present DTS student. He took me aside one day and asked me how what we were learning about the historical geography of the Bible was supposed to help him love the Lord more. He explained that he wanted every day of his life to be an experience of worship, but he was having trouble doing that with all the academic emphasis that we were getting on geography. All the academic emphasis. I had another interesting conversation, and it was also somewhat disturbing to me, with another student this summer. This young man had just finished his first year at DTS, and he told me that he wasn't planning on returning in the fall because his walk with the Lord had dried up while he was in seminary. And he wasn't willing to make the sacrifice to get a seminary degree. Yet another woman who had just graduated from DTS told me virtually the same thing this summer. Had a lot of disturbing conversations this summer. Her time had been one of the hardest in her life, she said, as a student here, because she felt that she had dried up spiritually. So, why do some students feel this way about their seminary experience? What is it about seminary that makes a walk with the Lord very difficult for some? Why does it seem to almost destroy vital love for Christ in some students while increasing it in many others? More importantly, how can we all maintain a growing relationship of love with our Savior as members of the DTS community? Well, I believe the answer is this. We need to focus on cultivating our relationship with Jesus Christ and watch out for idolatry. We need to focus on cultivating our relationship with Jesus Christ and watch out for idolatry. Idolatry? Isn't that a bit too strong? Am I suggesting that the DTS faculty and student body can be idolaters? Aren't we all committed to the Lord and to the Scriptures? Well, I believe that if something else has taken first place in our lives, we may be guilty of idolatry. If you've fallen in love with the study of Greek or Hebrew, and you love to study the original languages more than you love to think about Jesus, you may be an idolater. If you love to think about theology, to discuss it with your friends, to read about the theological debates that have taken place and are taking place, more than you love to think about the Lord, you may be an idolater. If you love learning how to preach and teach and minister in a variety of contexts and cultures to people of many different countries, more than you love to sit at the feet of the Savior, you may be an idolater. And worst of all, if you love to take Bible exposition courses, because then you're in the text, mainlining the Scriptures, learning more about what God has revealed, yet you lose sight of Christ, you may be an idolater. I'd invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. If you brought a Bible this morning, turn to Philippians chapter 3. At the beginning of this chapter, Paul continued to share his life and expose his motivating attitudes to his dear friends in Philippi, his partners in the work of gospel ministry. He cautioned them about false teachers who encouraged the Philippians to glory in their personal attainments. He warned them to put no confidence in their flesh, in what they were and what they had done when they thought about their relationship to God. He offered his own example of putting no confidence in what he had done or who he was in verses 4 through 6. Then he said in verse 7, "But these assets I have come to regard as liabilities because of Christ. These assets I have come to regard as liabilities because of Christ. More than that, I now regard all things as liabilities compared to the far greater value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things. Indeed, I regard them as dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not because of having my own righteousness derived from the law, but because of having the righteousness that comes by way of Christ's faithfulness, a righteousness from God that is in fact based on Christ's faithfulness. My aim is to know Him, to experience the power of His resurrection, to share in His sufferings, and to be like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." The Apostle Paul majored in Jesus Christ as he sought to grow as a Christian. Christ was the primary focus of his life. It was getting to know Him better that was most important to Paul, more important than anything else in his development as a believer. His relationship with Jesus Christ was a top priority in his life. What Christ had done for him was so much more important and significant than anything that he had done for Christ that he just wanted to learn more and more about Jesus. He wanted to get closer and closer to him, to appreciate him more and more. As he wrote earlier in chapter 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Christ was the sun around which Paul's life orbited. For many people, for them to live is money, or fun, or fame, or study, or ministry. But for Paul, it was the person of Christ. Paul was first and foremost, of course, a missionary. He sought to obey the Great Commission. But that was how he expressed his love for Christ. Without a growing relationship to Christ, he wouldn't have had sufficient motivation for serving Christ. Someone has said that knowing God gives meaning to life, but obeying God gives purpose to life. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, this all sounds uncomfortably touchy-feely to me. It's too subjective, too emotional. I prefer to worship God with my mind. Well, certainly, I believe we should worship God with our minds, but our minds are only part of us. Let me draw an analogy. Some of you are in the process of getting to know a member of the opposite sex that you think you might be interested in spending the rest of your life with. Others of you are still looking for that just right person. I've noticed that some of you spend a great deal of time together as I view the campus. You talk a lot. You share what's going on in your lives. Everything. In short, you seem to be in love. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, hopefully, you're also in love with Jesus Christ. If you still are, you want to spend time communicating with him, listening to what he has to say to you, talking to him in prayer. You enjoy thinking about him during your day, sharing everything that's happening to you with him. That's what I'm talking about when I speak of developing a closer relationship with Christ. Having been married for over 40 years, I can tell you that my relationship with Mary is still growing. There are still things we're learning to appreciate more about each other. And having been a Christian for over 50 years, I want my relationship with Jesus Christ to continue growing as well. One would think that living on the campus of DTS would be heaven on earth. And many new students express that. Here, the Word of God is honored and studied and put into practice by committed Christians. But Satan is alive and well on this campus, and we are not ignorant of his devices. He will use perfectly good things, such as what you're studying in your classes, to divert your attention from Jesus Christ. What you're studying in your classes is important. It's valuable. It's edifying. But it can also be misleading. You may think you have a vital relationship with Christ just because you're in his Word or because you're learning more. But that's not necessarily true. We face essentially the same problem that every Christian faces. A Christian medical doctor, for example, can be so devoted to his or her practice, as good as the medical profession is, that it eclipses the doctor's personal walk with the Lord. A Christian lawyer can become so wrapped up in his legal work that he gives Christ second place. A Christian businessman can get so involved in his business that his relationship with Jesus suffers. An academic can pursue his or her discipline so single-mindedly that he or she gets tunnel vision and sees little else. Likewise, a seminary person can become so wrapped up with the study of Scripture and theology and ministry that we fail to make our personal relationship with Jesus Christ a priority. It's an all too common error to equate studying the Word of God with pursuing God Himself. We have to study the Word to pursue Christ, but they aren't the same thing. Studying the Word is simply foundational and preliminary to pursuing Christ. In conclusion, I'd like to offer three tips for keeping your heart hot with love for the Savior as you go through DTS. First and most importantly, commit yourself to ordering your priorities so that you can pursue a more intimate relationship with your Savior. If you don't have enough time each day to sit quietly, reflect on what Christ has done for you, and thank Him for it, your priorities are out of line. I don't care if you do it in the morning, in the afternoon, or in the evening, but you must take time to reflect on the goodness of God to you, on the person and work of Christ. You may say, well, I just don't have time for that. My professors, my job keep me so busy, I don't even have time to do that, even though I know it's very important. Well, if that's your response, I would say you need to make time to do what you value as most important. Take control of your life. Make sure that you spend that time in reflection and meditation and prayer. Sure, it may mean you may not get as good grades, but are grades more important than a vital, developing relationship with your Savior? It may mean you can't work quite as many hours, but if you put Him first, you'll find that the Lord will reward you for that. Second, ask yourself, what can I learn about my Lord in this class that I'm taking or in this experience that I'm going through? What can I learn about Jesus? Often we don't use the things we're experiencing to help us grow in our relationship with Christ. For example, have you noticed that He's sustaining you? And how He's doing that as you go through various trials and tests? Or are you just going through them and not seeing them as what the Lord is using to teach you about Himself? Can you point to recent experiences in your life where you've seen that God is indeed your defender, your healer, your strength, your provider, your encourager, your deliverer? Have these experiences deepened your love for Him? Well, they should. Third, if you find that you're struggling to keep Christ Himself preeminent in your life, get some help. There are people in this community and probably in your church that would be willing to meet with you regularly if it would help. When the student who told me he wasn't planning to return this fall told me that, I gave him a list of 8 professors that I know would be willing to spend time regularly encouraging him to refocus on Christ. I suspect there are more than eight who would be willing to do that, but I gave him the names of eight that I know do this with students. They're willing to spend their time just encouraging students in their personal walk with God. Spiritual formation groups can do this. So can a close friend. If you feel that you're drying up spiritually, talk to somebody about this. Don't wait to the end of the semester. Don't come to the summer where you have to say the same thing. We're here to help one another, not just academically, but primarily spiritually. When Jesus recommissioned Peter in John 21, Jesus asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" He asked him that three times. All your seminary education won't qualify you for ministry if you don't love Jesus Christ. Don't let the fires of your passion for Christ grow cold. Don't let the seminary experience do that to you. Really, the seminary experience can be a tremendous help in your spiritual growth. But you have to keep cultivating your relationship with Christ. Give it the priority that it deserves in your life. Keep first things first. As the Apostle John concluded his first epistle, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols." Will you join me in prayer? Father, we do love you because you first loved us. Every one of us is here in this place because we have responded to the love that you have extended to us. As we walk with you day by day, we pray that we will learn more and more about how greatly you love us. Help us to appreciate increasingly what a great privilege it is to be your children, to be loved by you, protected by you, provided for by the infinitely wise, always faithful, only true God, the High King of Heaven. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, our great Savior. Thank you for calling us to be your representatives in sharing the gospel with the world. We pray that the study of your word will remain a constant source of joy and refreshment to us as we learn from it not only what you want us to do, but how much you love us. We pray this for your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.